Thank you and welcome in to the Bonesville pregame podcast. Al Myatt joined by Kevin Monroe. Kevin, of course, great defensive back in his playing days at East Carolina. And you can hear Kevin providing his insights on the East Carolina Radio Network on Saturday as East Carolina hosts Navy to get American Athletic Conference play started, 6 p.m. kickoff, Dowdy Ficklin Stadium. And Kevin, the Pirates are coming off a 49-10 win over Campbell. The score a little bit deceptive in terms of the start of that game because Campbell came out strong and actually led 10-7 at the end of the first quarter, but to a point that you made last week about coordinators making adjustments and the Pirates pulling away from the Camels in that non-conference contest last week.
Hey Al, yeah, it was interesting. It was, you know, as the lines came out earlier in the week, I think East Carolina was 31-point favorites or something like that, and it's just been so long since the Pirates have been such a heavy favorite. I was just very concerned as to how they would react, and I think, you know, my concerns were valid because they came out a little bit flat, and I think it took Campbell hitting them in the mouth early on with the first drive, pretty much walked right down the field, held them to a field goal, and then the second drive, you know, they get the 60-yard, you know, kind of pass for the touchdown. And as you mentioned, they go up 10-7, and you're thinking, man, we got to worry about winning this game, not about the spread. And so the Pirates, you know, they settle down and, you know, end up going on a 42-0 scoring run, which is about as impressive as you'll see. And so you're right. I think that, you know, what Donnie Kirkpatrick did offensively and Blake Harrell did defensively is to be commended because, you know, yeah, the quarterback, Hodge Malik Williams, was able to still kind of run around and get some things done, but they were unable to put the ball in the end zone after that first score. And then offensively, the Pirates were able to do pretty much what they wanted, both running and throwing the football. So very impressive adjustments, very impressive job of beating a team the way you're supposed to beat them. And so, yeah, the Pirates showed up well on Saturday.
And, Kevin, with the game under control, East Carolina was able to give backup quarterback Mason Garcia some playing time. And Marlon Gunn, a true freshman, he had some Power 5 offers before coming to East Carolina. He has shown well in the two games that he has played. And talk a little bit about the futures for those young men.
Yeah, I mean, if all goes according to schedule and Holt Naylor stays healthy and continues to play well, Mason Garcia should redshirt this season, which is sounds insane to say considering he was a four-star recruit who will now be in his third season in the program and still hasn't started a football game. But, you know, Holton has done his job and he's held serve, and so they're giving him an opportunity to finish out his career as the man. And Mason seems to be a team player and seems to be happy with that. And so, you know, if it goes according to schedule, he'll start his first college game in the Big House in Michigan next year this time. And so that's where his head is. That's what he's getting prepared for. But in the meantime, he's allowed to play in four games. And so I think the Campbell game was a perfect opportunity for him to get in and play because there's no pressure. You know, they were up significantly when he went in the game. And that's what you want from your backup quarterback is to go in with no pressure and have the opportunity just to gain some experience. He made a couple nice throws. He took off and ran a couple times, looked okay. You know, he's still got some growing to do. He was a little bit tentative at times. But it was good to see him get in and get an opportunity to just have some game snaps with no pressure. And then Marlon Gunn, it's the second time we've seen him play. The kid, if I can say this, he seems to be a good mix of Keaton Mitchell and Rozier Harris, which it seems, you know, silly because they're such good backs, and Keaton with his speed and Rozier with his power and ability to run between the tackles. But Marlon Gunn can fly, but he's also bigger and stronger and can run in between the tackles and shed tacklers. So seeing him run around out there gives us a lot of hope towards the future. I think he's going to be a really good back, and I'm glad to see him get his opportunity to play some.
Okay, of course, talking about Mason Garcia, the last time that Navy came to Greenville, Mason Garcia was the starting quarterback by default, and Holton Ahlers was out due to a positive COVID test. And Mason kind of got thrown into the fire there against the midshipmen. East Carolina had a competitive effort and fell short 2 years ago. But Navy comes in this year. The midshipmen are 0-2, but they are a program that can make adjustments during the course of the season. They've got very smart and motivated players, and the midshipmen come in, of course, with that option offense, Kevin.
Yeah, Coach Ken Niumatalolo is, you know, one of the better coaches, I think, in the country. And the job he's done at Navy since he's been there has been nothing short of impressive. He's now played East Carolina 8 times, and he's gone 6-2 against the Pirates. And so, you know, you're gonna expect his team to come in well-prepared, expecting to beat us. You know, whether the spread is 17 points, 18 points, whatever it is at this point, they're expecting to win their first game on Saturday. And so they've had a week extra to prepare with the off week before East Carolina, and they'll be ready. They've got the option attack that's tough to stop, and the Pirates are preparing hard for that this week in hopes to be ready for it. And it seems like both Delaware and Memphis were able to handle it thus far this season, but you got to assume during the off week they've made some adjustments, and so we'll see how much better it is. But certainly it's hard to prepare for just in a week, and so the Pirates will have their hands full here on Saturday.
Kevin, crowd support has been great. It looks like the weather's going to be suitable for football on Saturday night and all the aspects, pregame tailgating and that sort of thing. 43,036 on hand for an FCS opponent, the Campbell Camels last week, and that type of fan support certainly translates into energy and confidence for the players.
Now, I mean, you can't even believe how far the Pirates have come in just the last few seasons. You know, after 3 straight 3-9 seasons under Coach Mo, you know, Pirate fans had really gotten pretty apathetic, you know, pretty down. Just didn't really know what to think about the program. Season ticket sales were down. People weren't coming to the games. And then 2020 comes, and you have the pandemic, and nobody is allowed to come to the stadium. And so 2021 numbers just weren't great. You know, trying to fill the stadium. At times there'd be good crowds, but you know, getting 30,000 in the stands was a big game. And so, you know, to open up this season with 50,000 plus against NC State, and then to have, you know, it was a rainy game week two, so it wasn't as full, but to come back week three with 43,000, it's so impressive. I'm just so glad to see Pirate fans back engaged, back excited. Season ticket sales are up. Pirate Club donations are up. And so the excitement around the program is back. And it feels good, and the team is playing well. So, you know, with the excitement around it, you got to keep that momentum going. You got to keep playing well, game in and game out.
Kevin, I recall, I think in 1999, your senior season at East Carolina, the Pirates played at Army. I'm trying to remember if Army ran an option offense at that time. I think they did.
They did.
But Coach Steve Logan talked about assignment football on defense and players responsible for particular players on the offensive side, and talk a little bit about what the nuts and bolts of defending an option offense.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting. Army was the option team that we would play almost every year, and we never got a chance to play Navy, but that was the team that we always prepared for, a team we worried about. And their program probably wasn't to the height that Navy has been over the last several years. So we were able to win the majority of the games, but it was still just a tough game to get prepared for. And as you speak about the option and what it means, basically it's knowing your responsibility football, right? So each defensive player is responsible for something. At corner, I was generally responsible for the pitch man, which means if the running back got the pitch, I was coming up hard to make a tackle there. At safety, you were probably also responsible for the pitch man. Usually the defensive end was responsible for quarterback. The interior line and linebackers were responsible for the dive man. And then also maybe the outside linebacker would also be responsible for quarterback. And so you had two or three guys responsible for each of those backs. And so whether there was a fake or not, it didn't matter because you were going to do your job. And so if the quarterback looked like he was running the ball, as the pitch man responsibility as a corner, I had to just let him run by me until he committed downfield because I could not come off that pitch man. You know, as the defensive end, if it looked like the quarterback was going to pitch the ball, I cannot run to that pitch man to play that. I have to stay on the quarterback until that ball is gone from out of his hands. So if everyone does their job, it's not that hard of an offense to stop, being that it's so one-dimensional and that there's very few passes. But it's just so hard to stay disciplined and do your job because all of the fakes involved, it looks like the quarterback's going to do something different than what you think, and so you want to go make a play when you just can't do that. You have to go to the pitch man if that's your guy. You have to go to the quarterback if that's your guy. You have to go to the dive man if that's your guy and not worry about anything else. And so on every play, three people should be getting tackled: quarterback, pitch man, dive man. And whoever has the ball, great. If your guy doesn't have the ball, you tackle him anyway. And so it's if you could play that way, you could be successful. If you get greedy, you'll get beat bad. And that's what we saw in the past when, you know, Navy came in and hung 70 and 50 and 60 on the Pirates because they just weren't playing responsible football.
Yeah, I remember a loss 76-35, and it seemed like Navy just broke everything that day. And Coach Houston said this week that East Carolina has never beaten Navy at home. And what kind of motivating factor do you think that will be?
I think it's big. You know, I think the win last year on the road at Navy was big. I think also Ruffin McNeil beat Navy at Navy. And so, you know, having the opportunity to beat them at home or be more competitive at home with the hopes to beat them at home is a big deal. That, you know, Pirate fans have never seen that. And so it's really cool to go to Navy and see all the pomp and circumstance and the midshipmen, you know, cadets come out and do their marching thing. But obviously playing at home, there's nothing like it. And for it to be the fourth week in a row, to have an opportunity to play at home, I think Pirate fans are super excited. And knowing that they're the favorites in this game just gives them that extra, you know, boost of excitement. And I think the players will be ready.
Well, Kevin, let's talk about that Bonesville tradition, Kevin's keys to the game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just spent 5 minutes talking about their rushing attack. And so I think it starts there. It starts defending the option attack run of the midshipmen. The Pirates have to stick to their responsibilities. They have to play that run game well, and they have to be able to do it in a minimal fashion for Navy. They can't afford to allow them to get that thing going. And then I'll add on to that, it's defending the big play. You know, you can't fall asleep on the pass. You can't fall asleep on any trick plays. So you cannot give up the big play. Any plays of 20 yards and over, the Pirates have to minimize that, I would say, to two and under. So defending the run just in general defensively, and then defending the big play defensively, those two things will get you beat. And then offensively, you know, this is a Navy team that's, you know, giving up 25 points a game, which is not that high. They play pretty good defense, but, you know, they gave up 37, I believe, to Memphis. And so they have some vulnerabilities. The Pirates just need to get in their offense and move the chains. Keep the chains going. Get the running attack going. Be able to pass the football, but get first downs. Stay on the field and kind of maintain that time of possession that they've been maintaining the majority of this season. Gave some of that back to Campbell last week. The first two games, they dominated. Time of possession. Time of possession is going to be big in this game. You want to keep that Navy offense off the field, keep the chains moving offensively for the Pirates.
Very good, Kevin. We'll look forward to the matchup. East Carolina hosting Navy Saturday night, 6 o'clock, and you can hear Kevin Monroe on the East Carolina Radio Network. As always, Kevin, enjoyed the Bonesville pregame podcast, and we'll look forward to next week.
Appreciate it, Al.
Got it! Pirates!